Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, let me grab the headphones. I'll get dialed into the studio. Get these dogs to shut up. Oh, goodness. I better close the window or the neighbors are going to get mad. Hope the guests call in tonight. I wonder if anybody's going to call in. Well, let's do this thing.
It's Rated G Radio, and this is your host, Garrett Miller.
Well, welcome to Rated G Radio, everybody. And normally I would start out in a completely different manner, but I've got my niece, Cassie Schuler, on the line, all the way from, where do you live, Cassie? Is it Lebanon or Albany?
Lebanon,
Oregon. Cassie is calling in tonight to listen to the show. So, Cassie, I'm going to put you back on hold, but I wanted to give you a shout-out and a big thanks for calling in tonight. Say hi to your folks for me, okay?
Hi.
Hi. Okay, so hang on the line. I'm just going to put you on mute, and then you can listen to the show, okay?
Okay.
Okay, thanks, my dear. Good to talk to you. Post some more pictures of your dog. How's your dog doing?
Good. Did you know he was attacked by a coyote?
Yes. Your dad posted pictures on Facebook, so I wanted to make sure
yeah.
He's okay.
But he's doing a lot better.
Okay. Well, good. Good. You need to post some new pictures. Get us a health update sometime, okay?
I just bought Twitter, so I'm learning how to use it.
Eh, Twitter's overrated, but, you know, pick it up. You're
yeah,
one of the
I
cool kids.
I don't want to keep talking anymore.
Okay. Well, that's okay. You know, hang on. You know, just have your dad post for you.
Okay,
thanks, Cassie. Bye-bye. Okay, so that was kind of a fun surprise, and I'm also going to give a shout-out to new listener Jesse, who is listening in for the first time tonight, along with a bunch of other folks we'll give shout-outs to a little bit later. But without further ado, because we just want to make sure we get the show done, because there's going to be so much to talk about, we've got Mr. Mike Anthony joining the line tonight. Mike, how are you tonight?
Good. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing awesome, and I had a caller that called in right before the show, and I thought it was you, and I think they hung up because they were like, oh, my gosh, there's somebody who's talking to me. I have to hang up. So I think that they're just in the listen mode now, so we're cool there. And then my niece Cassie's calling in. That was cool. She's not called in before, so it was one of those, you know, impromptu moments. I thought, you know, maybe, you know, Mike is calling in off of the Skype. Anyway, enough of all of that, Mike. Welcome to the show. Thanks for being here tonight on Rated G Radio. It's always a pleasure to welcome a new guest, and this is our first time to really visit and chat and get to know each other a little bit.
Oh, yeah. If people don't know, we're friends on Facebook, but we've never officially met. And
I
so I was so excited to share with you all the things we have going on.
I read everything that we're going to talk about tonight, and I need to tell everybody, when I have guests that come on the show, I always say, well, what do you want to talk about, and how can we promote your project and things like this? And Mike is the textbook case for the most awesome, perfect guest ever in the history of guests. And he goes,
oh my God.
Here's a list of everything. And I'm like, right on. This is going to just write itself. So I'm going to be on a little bit of a cruise control tonight, Mike, because he did all the hard work for me. And I need to tell you a big thanks ahead of time for that. But we're still going to have fun. We're going to learn a lot. And hopefully raise some awareness, too. So before we get started, for all the fun stuff that we're going to be talking about tonight, can I have you give us kind of a little bio on who you are and why you're such a superstar for us tonight?
Oh, God. That's a horrible term, but I would love to tell you who I am. Let's see. God, that's such a loaded question.
Okay, where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Wheeling, Illinois. It's a small suburb about 25 miles outside of Chicago, and like everyone, I moved to L.A. to be an actor, and I spent about 10 years doing entertainment news, acting, theater, all that kind of stuff, and I absolutely loved it. I still loved it, but then this letter dropped into my lap that changed my life, and now I work as a psychotherapist in training and run this anti-bullying nonprofit we're going to talk about.
Holy cow. Okay, so that's not a loaded question at all. So what letter fell into your lap and what happened with that?
Well, it's really, really interesting. So the story, you know, sometimes I'm so used to telling it in a sound bite, but it's just this amazing experience. So feel free.
Well, we've got time tonight, so feel free.
But I joined this anti-bullying campaign called the It Gets Better campaign. And basically, that's where you made short videos for the internet and just told bullied gay teens, hang in there because things do end up getting better. And I made a video, my own, and it actually became really, really popular. And it was shown on TV shows, put on all these blogs, all that stuff. And what happened was I ended up getting a letter from a kid in my hometown reaching out for help. And the letter was partially anonymous. It was someone I didn't know, didn't have a last name or return address. So what I decided to do was go back home and put, in essence, kind of look for this kid and tell him it gets better. But no one really got behind the cause because they didn't know who I was or what I was doing there or who this kid was. And so instead of telling people to get involved and, you know, do what I say, I just asked them a simple question. I got curious and said, what is it that's bullying you? And within a month, I received 2,200 anonymous letters, just like this kid wrote, from people all over my hometown. Yeah, completely unsolicited from people in my hometown, from people around the country. NBC actually put us on the air, and then they just started coming. And it's been 3 years, and I've received over 10,000 and still get them all the time. And so what we're doing now with these letters is basically we put on stage shows around the country where people take them and bring them back to life. And this is the Anonymous Initiative. And it's really interesting. I call it that because not only were these letters written by anonymous people, but the actors that we play are people, when you first read the letter, you're like, this is not the person I would have cast. This is not typecasting, you know? It's because when we hear a story through someone else's eyes, when we can't fill in the blanks, when we can't say, oh, that person's not the same age as me or race as me or what have you, when we just have to sit with the words and the feelings, suddenly it becomes our story. And we don't pity the person, we don't distance the person, but in a small way, for a moment in time, we are that person.
Yeah.
And once we share each other's burdens, the load becomes lighter, and we realize that we're not alone in our pain.
What a brilliant – can I ask you a question here? When you got ready to do the shows like this, whose genius idea was it to just have random people do it versus, okay, I'm going to color code you up with this, and you have to fit into the bucket, and if you don't fit into the bucket, you can't read it? Because that's a great concept.
Well, it's very interesting. It was my idea because I'm a gay-identified man. And growing up, sometimes, you know, I identified more with the Little Mermaid than with the prince.
Sure.
And in reading these letters, like, I'm not an addict. I haven't been in rehab, but some of those letters spoke so deeply to me. And I'm not a woman, but some of those letters spoke so deep to me. And then some of the letters written by gay-identified individuals, I felt for them, but they didn't speak to me. And I thought, if I don't feel that way, I would rather have people dive in this pit of 2,000 letters and pick the story that speaks to them, removing race, gender, age, socioeconomic. What is the story? You know, we always tell actors, I always use the term, what do you hang your heart on? What sentence is your heart hanging on? And if you can find a letter that has more than two or three of that sentence, those sentences, that's your story.
Wow. And so you've taken this, I want to say, if I call it a stage show, is that an appropriate declaration of what this is? Or how would you categorize what you do?
I would call it maybe a community experience, because we did one in a garage under the 101 that had like 16 people.
Okay.
We did one at a campus that had over 1,000. We did one in a Dallas movie theater. You know, we've done it in so many places. I love the fact that all we need is a safe place for someone to stand and an area for people to watch. We can do this anywhere. So I call it more of like a community experience.
Nice. And so out of all the letters that you've received over the last couple of years, do you have any that really just stand? I mean, I'm sure they're all powerful, but do you have any that just really stand out and just like hit home for you?
Oh, God.
I mean, it's like where to pick, right? You know?
There are so many. And I think what is beautiful is the stories that go beyond the story. Can I give an example of that?
Oh, yeah, please.
Okay. this is what I think is beautiful. There's one letter in the first book. We'll get to the books in a second. I'm so proud of that. But, well, in essence, to get to the book, what I did was in August of 2012, I took these letters and I picked 99 of them and I put them in this coffee table book that we sold that became an online bestseller, actually. And we'll also talk about the music, but also we had artists and musicians commissioned from around the country to take some of these letters and to write original songs based on the letters, or to take their favorite song that they've recorded and do a different rendition of it based on one of the letters. And that was an iTunes charting CD. That was super exciting. And I was doing a book tour, and I wound up in Dallas. And I remember there was this church that was having a big event, and I was standing outside waiting to go into my event and speak, and they found out this was an anti-bullying event, and they were like, oh, come talk, we're in the middle of church, come up and talk. And so they pulled me out there, and pretty soon they identify I'm a gay man, and things get a little uncomfortable, and they immediately stop me, and I'm like, oh, no. And
yeah,
they bring this woman up. And it turns out her son had just come out of the closet.
Oh,
wow. And they had kicked him out of the church, and they wanted my advice. Like, what do I do? And I'm not in the business of giving advice. So I just looked at her, and I thought, honey, what are you so afraid of? Like, genuinely, not judging, genuinely. And she said, I'm just afraid my son will get AIDS and do drugs and die alone. And so it was like serendipitous, because in the first book, there's a letter from a gay boy who talks about being abandoned by his mother. And
there's
one line in there where he writes, what's a boy without his mother? And he goes on to say, maybe if I do more drugs, someone will love me. Maybe if I have more sex, someone will love me. And he just goes on this thing, and I give it to this woman. This is in front of everyone, mind you. And I give it to this woman, and I say, could you read this? You know? And she starts reading it, and by the end, she's in tears. Everyone's in tears. And she looks at me, and she says, are you saying if I don't learn to love him, I'm going to make him everything I fear? And I said, I can't say that because I can't predict the future, but what I can say is that's how someone else's story is played out.
Wow.
And I could sit here. I have so many examples of how people finding the courage to tell, because we don't talk about bullying in the sense of someone in high school, like what they did to you. We do, but it goes beyond that. It's what happens when life bullies you. And what happens when you keep that bully locked inside? And what happens when you start to become that bully on yourself? And what is so amazing with these letters is the more I receive, the more we publish, the more music we make, the more that comes out of it, the more these letters become witnesses and teachers for other people. And that was just what I think one of the most blatantly beautiful examples of that.
I love it. Now, I have another question for you here. We have some music that we have queued up tonight, and I'm going to ask you, since we didn't have a chance to talk before, I'm going to ask you for a little direction so that I can hit it, please.
Yeah, of course.
But I do have The Scar on My Arm. I have that ready to go, which is about a minute, and then we have three other clips of music which you were kind enough to send over, which we'll be doing in the appropriate order as you deem fit. Are we at a point that...
Yeah, I think the perfect one would be to start with The Scar on My Arm. This is one of the letters we received fairly early on, and it's an example of during one of our performances, we take original music, we take an actor, we put them on stage, and it's only a short letter, you know. I find it super powerful, but this is just an example of bringing... What I love to tell people, because we normally have the letters up on the wall so you can read them while they're talking, but just listen to the words. You know, try not to get distracted by the music or something, but this is a story, and I wonder how many other people, metaphorically or even physically, can identify with this story.
Well, let's play it, and we'll be right back after this. Everybody, this is called The Scar on My Arm.
The scar on my arm is the physical manifestation of hate. Only three people know how it got there. Only one other was courageous enough to ask. I didn't tell him. It's not that I was embarrassed to tell him. I didn't tell him because the story's filled with so much hate and ugliness. I refused to retell it to anyone. My silence has made the world a better place. All that remains of the incident is this scar, and I can deal with that.
Wow. So there you go. And that was the guy's letter.
Yeah. No, it was someone else's letter. And that was
No, that's what, I'm sorry. That's what I meant. But this is the actor reading that person's letter. Yeah.
Correct. And, you know, just this idea of it could have come from a 50-year-old woman, from an 8-year-old child. And we don't know. But what we know is that someone was scarred by someone. And they felt such pain, and they didn't find release till the day they realized it did not define them. And what I hear is, how many times have we been hurt? But when we finally let go of that, it doesn't go away, but then we're able to put beauty back out into the world. That's what I hear.
And, you know, and I think that, you know, one of the things that I love about what you're doing is the fact that this is a campaign that just doesn't, you know, because, again, in the local media, I say local, the U.S. media in the last couple of years, of course, whenever they talk bullying, the first thing that really comes to people's minds is, you know, for the LGBT community, at least that's what I think when I read the articles and things like that. But there's many other types of bullying that go on across the country and around the world every single day. And I was so impressed with the question that you have in the little the PDF workshop information that came over. Is like, what is it that bullies you, you know? And it's not just, you know, okay, how are we going to pick on, you know, how are we going to stop people from picking on other folks, but how do you stop picking on yourself? Should we talk about the workshop? Can we talk about the books a little bit more? Can we talk about the CD?
I think the workshop is great because they're all connected.
Okay.
We do this workshop now called Redefining the Word Bully. And it's so interesting you bring that up because I'm reminded of a workshop we did at a library in McHenry. And, you know, it just says, Michael Anthony, redefine the word bully, come to the workshop. And so it's this rainy night. There's a few teachers, a few reporters, all this stuff. And we, you know, I start talking. And pretty early on, these people realize, oh, this is not an informational session. We're actually going to participate. And this happens every time I give a workshop. You just see this look of fear because we're so inundated. If I'm over 18, if I'm not part of a minority, if this or that, bullying, well, that word doesn't apply to me. And it's like, honey, it applies to every single one of us, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And when you, in essence, redefine that word, not as the things that happen out there, but the things that we do to ourselves. Everyone has a story. And I remember this McHenry Library experience was specifically moving to me because giving the workshop, you know, it's a cold night and, you know, almost rural Illinois, and a few people, it's raining outside. We have like 30 people, and afterwards, whenever I said, so, you know, people have kind of asked questions, taken in this new kind of bullying and stuff, talked about it. I said, does anyone have any questions? And this girl stands up, and of course, no one has questions at first. No one wants to be the first one.
Right, they don't be the first one. Yeah.
Exactly. But this girl raises her hand in the back row, and she stands up, and she goes, what happens if you make a mistake in your junior high and everyone hates you?
Oh my gosh.
And of course me, I don't give answers or advice, but I don't even know how to respond. Like, what are the words you say? And this guy, maybe in his 40s, maybe early 40s, is sitting in the middle row, and he just turns around and says, oh, I did something in high school, and he starts telling this story, and I don't even have to say anything. And then a woman in the front row, she was probably in her 60s or 70s, she starts talking to this guy, and before you know it, naturally, within about 5 minutes, let's say, everyone started sitting in a circle, and we all started talking, and it was like no longer was I leading a lecture or a workshop. What I was doing was occasionally facilitating a storytelling. Uh-huh. And that's what these workshops are about. I go into all the, like, I pride myself on being, you know, a decent speaker, but it has nothing to do with me. We go into these places where we break down this word, we apply it to all of us, and once people start talking, I live under the belief that we all want to be the best person we can be, we all want to be connected, and we all want to be happy. If you can't get behind those three tenets, then probably the work I do won't work for you.
Right.
And, you know, but those are the three things I go by. And when you see one person like this girl stand up and have the courage to say something like that, it kicks off a chain reaction. Despite being this small library in the rain on a night when, you know, no one wants to be there, it becomes transformative.
Wow, that is powerful. And, you know, but you're so right. You know, you get up there and you're thinking, okay, here we go. And the next thing you know, you got people probably hugging it out and crying and, you know, saying, if you need somebody to call me or whatever the case may be. So,
incredible. It's so absolutely moving, the stuff that comes from it. And one thing I do in the workshop that I wanted, well, we'll say it at the end. I'm really excited for that final clip I sent you. But
okay, so we'll save it for that. So where do you take the workshop?
And that's the wonderful, wonderful thing. We have taken it to different places around the country. We have the second book and the second CD coming out in early November. And if anyone wants to see more information on the updates, it's at a website called IamAnonymous.org. We're going to start posting some updates. But as far as the book and the CD when it's released, all that money, 100% of that money, goes back into these workshops and traveling places to put them on. And, you know, obviously being a small nonprofit, obviously I'm in school, all these things, we have to pick and choose where we go. I mean, I get people all the time emailing, please come to our school, please come to our church, please come do this. And, you know, we're just starting to get the resources. So thus far we've done it in a women's shelter in Seattle, detox in Reno, a local organization in Dallas. We've done one in Vegas. We've done a bunch in Chicago. You know, all over Los Angeles, all the way up from Oakland, all the way down to San Diego. And what I'm really proud of is we have, not only for these workshops, but libraries wanting these books and these CDs, we actually have waiting lists. So all I'm trying to do is create enough awareness and, in essence, resources so we can continue to travel even more and do these things.
I love it. Would now be a good time to play one of the songs, maybe perhaps the Matt Zarley song?
Yes, I love this. This is a song called Change Begins With Me by an artist named Matt Zarley, who is just a dear, dear, dear friend and beautiful man. And this is the original song is a ballad, and this is the remix. And I just think it is beautiful. I think it's empowering. And it's called, the first lines are, anything is possible. And the song is called Change Begins With Me. It's on our first album, which is on iTunes. It's called Anonymous, a musical musings about the ways we bully ourselves. So if you like it, you can check it out. But yeah, I'd love to play it.
Okay, let's do that, and we'll be right back in just a second.
Addicted to your love. Oh. inside your love. What have I to be afraid of? I'm tangled in your grasp, Lord, this is moving so very fast. Now I find myself conflicted, enraptured and addicted. With you I'm unrestricted, captured by the prize. That what I feel is real, but I couldn't have predicted. I find myself addicted to your love. Oh, to your love. Captured by the prize, I stand here convicted that what I feel is real, but I couldn't have predicted I'd find myself addicted to your love.
Song is Addicted by Chadwick, and we're going to find out about that song in just a second. But a real quick hello and shout out to Khalil, Dennis Hensley, and Erica De Palma, all who have been either guests or co-hosts on Rated G Radio at some time in the past. You're all celebrating birthdays today, my dears, so I hope you're having a great birthday. So, Mike, tell us about Addicted.
Well, first, just to say, Dennis Hensley was actually on our first CD and is going to be on the second CD as well.
Cool. What is he doing? Is he reading a letter, or is he singing?
No, he's a singer. He actually
He is multi-talented. We just had lunch last week.
Oh, he's absolutely phenomenal. We actually used to host a stage show together. So, yep, it's his birthday, and he's definitely part of the program as well. And he's an excellent guy.
A plus. I know, just A plus. Okay. Well, we could have a Dennis Hensley fan hour here. So, but let's get back to what we got you here tonight. So, and that's of course is your project IamAnonymous.org, and you just had a CD and book that were out a while ago. They were charting on iTunes, which is really really cool. But you've got a new project that's coming out next. I say next month. I always think we're already in October, but it's coming out in November. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Correct. It's actually what it is. I'm so excited. Since the first book and CD were so successful, it is the second anthology. So basically, it is, when we published the first book, we had 2,000 letters. When we're publishing the second book now, we have 10,000 letters.
Oh, holy cow.
Yeah, and just asking people again, what is it that bullies you? The most amazing thing I've started seeing is different letters have the same sentences, the exact same sentence. So it just, again, proves that, like, our stories, the facts might be different, the locations, the people in them, but that pain, there's a universality. With this second book, what I love that we've done is on each opposing page, we have two letters that, it might be different. They might be set in different parts of the country, have, you know, writers of different demographics. But then at the same time, there's something so poignant and important that's mirrored in the two letters. And so the second book comes out. And again, 100% of the net profits are going to put on these workshops around the country. And we have a second CD coming out, which I am so excited about. These artists, the first CD is artists that I've worked with over the years in Los Angeles and a few from my hometown in Chicago. But this second CD is people all over the country that have contacted me about the program. So it's taking just my circle and then expanding it to all these people that somehow are connected to the cause. And
wow.
What's really interesting I have for you, the last song we're going to play tonight is Outside In by Nadia Angelini. She's actually someone I met at school. We're both being trained to be a psychotherapist. And then I found out she's this amazing singer and writer and artist. And I asked her if she would participate with one of her songs. And this one, honestly, is one of my favorites. It's just a very chill, like, lovely song, and I wanted to share it.
Well, cool. So we're going to play Outside In, and then we're going to come back, Mike, and I have got a surprise guest caller waiting on the line to talk to you. But first, this is Nadia Angelini and Outside In. So listen up, everybody. Hope you enjoy it.
Love we found in the most peculiar place. Had no idea it could be this way. Like every fairy tale, two lovers only dare to overcome, to overcome obstacles in their way.
Angelini, and that's her song Outside In. Mike, it looks like you know every talented person, at least in Hollywood, and I've got one more that has called in to talk to you tonight. Joy, you are on live with Mike.
Hey, Mike. Hey, Garrett. How are you guys?
Oh, my God. How are you, Joy?
I'm doing well. I just wanted to give a shout-out. I'm here in Chicago listening, and I just thought, you know, hearing another voice about all the work you're doing, it's just, you know, would be a great perspective to share with everybody. If I could just give a little background on how I know Mike.
Please.
Mike and I actually went to the same high school. I'm a few years older than him, and I actually was his voice teacher. So it's just kind of a weird connection how all this music has come together. And a few years ago, he was holding a big event here, and I went to actually go see another friend and musician who's featured on the first CD, which I am as well, thanks to Mike. But
This was the first anti-bullying show we put on in our hometown, and me and Joy had lost touch, but she came to see another performer. So you can continue,
wow.
Joy. This is the first big show we did.
Yeah, it was totally wild because I went there, and my friend's like, oh, yeah, you're going to know who's running the show. I'm like, no, I don't know who this is. And then sure enough, once I see Mike up there, I'm like, oh, my gosh, I do. I'm like, I used to teach you. But just to speak of Mike's character and what the Anonymous Initiative is all about, is you just are probably gathering this talking to him today. Mike has such a great personality, and he just makes everyone feel welcome and helps people open their hearts up without them realizing that's what they needed to do. And that's why I love this project. And I went to this big event, you know, going to support my friend, not knowing here 2 years later that it would be so heavily, you know, heavily involved in the project. Besides being on the first CD, that's McHenry Library Experience, I was there, and just the whole, how it is a community experience, like Mike was saying earlier, how people who don't know each other don't realize how much they need each other. And that's just huge because everyone is, especially in the, you know, LA, Chicago, in these big cities, I feel like people are just walking down the streets with blinders on, and we all have shared problems and shared stories. And with the books, and I'm so excited to see this next one coming out, you know, think about, there's days when you can relate to one thing and you might not be able to relate to something for years later, but that's what, you know, all these letters are going to be good for you. It's going to help you through so many stories that you don't even know about yet. So it's a great, I'm really, you know, excited to be a part of this anti-bullying nonprofit. And it's going to go very far. And I just wanted to say hello and, you know, congrats and wish you all the
best. Thank you, Joy. Now, Joy, do you have a favorite letter that you have, and picking a favorite is probably hard for, I think, anybody who's probably read the book, but do you have a favorite letter, one that's really touched your heart?
Gosh, you know what? No, I don't like to zero in either. No, it's just kind of like what I was saying earlier. It's just some things speak to me on different days. So it's
sure.
The same thing,
yeah.
Like how Mike was saying, you know, me not being gay, doesn't mean I can't relate to those stories, or me not being a drug addict. You know, you relate to them for what goes on in your life, which bothers you. So,
well, Joy,
they're all really great. Pardon me?
Joy, when you wrote a letter, didn't you?
Gosh, I've probably written two or three. I don't know how many you know that are from mine, but yeah.
What's that experience like when someone just asks you, what is it that bullies you with no parameters, just one of the times? What was that experience like to sit down alone and put it from your head through your heart and onto the page? What was that like?
Well, I remember the first letter I spoke was at the end of that event when I reconnected with you, and I'm standing at one of those high tables, you know, just scribbling, like my pen couldn't write faster than my thoughts, you know, and
wow.
You don't realize what's bullying you. It could be everything as how much I weigh, you know, being single, you know, struggling with finances, not living where I want to do, being a struggling musician. I could go on probably another 15 things. So it's all what catches you in that moment. You know, things don't bother me and everybody every day, but they do bother you. You know, and when you sit down and take time and think about it, it just is like a huge weight gets lifted. And it's not that it's the end all be all, but it's a step in the right direction for you to, you know, start to heal and realize that you're not alone. And that's what I think's just so great. Like, who expected that? Like, I write all the time, like, but in this context, it's just, it's amazing. So
very powerful.
Thank you, Joy.
Joy,
you're welcome.
You are a joy, Joy. Thank you very much for calling, and thanks for listening tonight. And
for sure.
Yeah,
it's
thanks
been
for being a good
show.
Friend. Oh, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Well, see, there we go, Mike. It proves one more person that you know, and now your friend base is spreading to Chicago for awesome people that you're introducing us to tonight too. So that's always cool. So who are some of the celebrities that have participated in your new book and CD?
That is the most amazing part. I can't tell you as far as who's in the book.
Of course.
I can tell you we have a letter from an Oscar-winning actress.
Okay.
We have a letter from a president of a nonprofit that everyone would know, this person and the nonprofit. And we also have a super famous country music star. And
wow.
These three people gave me the letters under the promise that they would be anonymous because...
Sure. That's the whole concept.
We note which one is the Oscar-winning actress's letter, mm-hmm. but the other ones, you would not even be able to tell. They're just placed in the book. And
wow.
with the actress, you can't tell who it is. And people sit there and try to guess. But then when I ask them, I just say, but read that letter. Does it matter? And they're like, actually, this could be me writing this letter. And I say, that
yeah.
is exactly the point.
Mm-hmm.
You knowing
mm-hmm.
who she is not nearly as important as knowing someone who, quote, has it all, is thinking
right.
and feeling the same thing you are.
Same thing. Absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, Mike, it looks like we've got another caller on the line. I haven't pre-screened this one, so you know, please don't swear or do anything weird. Okay. Area code 401, you're live with Mike. Welcome to the show. Who's this?
Julie from Rhode Island.
Hi, Julie. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Mike. Do you know who it is?
Julie uh-huh. from Rhode Island.
Right. I'm gonna kidnap your dog, that one.
Oh, my God. Another Facebook friend who I haven't met yet.
That's right. But I still want to kidnap your dog.
I do have the world's cutest dog. She has been just an ardent online fan of the program and helping me spread the message. And I'll admit it, sometimes I get really down. This work is really hard, and nonprofit living is very hard. And you constantly tell me to keep going. And even though we haven't met, I really appreciate the online support.
Well, I think you're awesome. I'm just sorry I didn't get to meet you when I was out there last year. And I would have kidnapped your dog, but I would have bought you nachos, you know, in the place of the fact that I wanted your dog.
I'm obsessed with nachos. But, no, I always – have you written a letter yet?
No, but I should. I don't know where to send it. Where do I send it? Is it on your webpage somewhere, like an address?
That's a perfect question. It's at iamanonymous.org. You just click on write your letters, and anyone can do it. I still get – like, my partner is, like, shocked. I get, like, 2 to 3 a day from, like, around North America now. And he's just like, who is it? I'm like, that's the beauty. I have no idea who it is, but it's going into the file.
But you would know because it's coming. If you're saying it's coming from email, then you're going to see, you know, juliebutzeger@gmail.com.
Well, that's
then
why
it's
we
not
love
anonymous
it.
Anymore.
We love people to mail them in, and we also, one of the volunteers scrambles them all, prints them out, deletes it immediately. So we do our best to always keep it anonymous.
Uh-huh.
Very cool. Julie, thank you very much for the call tonight.
Yeah, well, I heard the last call. I was like, whoa, I wonder if there would even be time for me to call in and say hi.
Yeah.
And when you said, oh, you know, someone called from way over in Chicago, I'm like, oh, I can beat that. I'm way over in Rhode Island.
Thank you, Julie.
Julie, get out
You're
pen
welcome.
And paper and write your letter tonight, okay?
Okay.
There we go.
If you think of anything I can do for you, you let me know, Mike. You know I'll do it.
You're so sweet, honey. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks,
bye-bye.
Julie. Have a great night. What a treat.
Oh, my God, it's amazing. These people literally – I love that these people care about me, but they care about the cause, too, and that's what I think
yeah.
unites us, you know, because that's actually the point of this campaign, and Joy kind of touched on it. The point is we – sometimes I call them – flashes and feelings. We think in flashes and feelings. We don't always think linearly. So when we have problems, we only hear, we only keep playing over when the door slammed or when I saw that or when I felt that. But when you write these letters, you have to tell the whole story start to finish. And what happens is you start to make sense of it because you're thinking in a linear fashion and telling it to someone that knows nothing. And you start to justify things and draw connections. And so the whole point of this anonymous initiative is sometimes we have things that are too painful, we can't even find the words. But I hold true that once you're able to write it down, and then once you're able to put it on paper and send it out, eventually you'll be able to tell one person. And once you tell one person, you'll be able to tell two people, then five people. And once they affirm you, you become the expert on your story, and it's like a chain reaction. And before you know it, you've come to terms with it. And Joy kind of pointed that out, where it just flows out of you, and then suddenly it makes, even if it's just a little bit, it makes a little bit more sense.
Well, okay, you are not only the perfect guest, but it's the perfect segue to a question that I was going to ask next is, you know, can you talk a little bit about art therapy and how it's the cure to bullying?
I think the thing, and this is what we do, when people send in their letters, and sometimes we work with the writer to create art, and sometimes someone anonymously does it. And the reason I think this is so incredible and unique is because imagine you have your letter, you sent it to me, and then you see at an art exhibit someone made a sculpture, and we have your letter based on it. Someone has taken the time to read your story, sit with it, and create something that took them 5, 10, 100 hours. We have some songs that have played on the radio, like tonight. And it's like, imagine if you knew that was your story, if those lyrics were your letter. Someone sat down, they wrote it, they published it, they produced it. And what it means is not only is your story, is not only has someone spent time with you, but your story's out there. And if you listen to any of those songs and are like, oh God, I understand that, I identify with that, people start to take that pain. They start to share that load and that burden, and you are not alone. And once that pain is shared, it just doesn't feel as heavy. It doesn't feel as hard.
And that's a good thing.
I look, do we have time for that last quick clip I sent you?
We absolutely do. But before we get to the last clip, you have the release party in November in Culver City. Do you have a location? How do people get invited to this? What's going to be going on?
Yes, we just decided. I'm so happy. I'm announcing it here. On November 21st at Antioch University, which is located in Culver City, they do this phenomenal artistic avant-garde out-of-the-box night. And 1 year ago, we were invited to do an anti-bullying exhibit. And this year, we're going to do another one, even bigger and better. But we're going to have letter performances. We're going to have people from the second CD perform. And there's food. There's wine. There's a five-hour stage show, not only us, but other outlets. And all the money is going to help a homeless art therapy project. So,
oh, my gosh.
IamAnonymous.org, November 21st, and it's a huge event, and the best part, it's 100% free. If you want to come buy a book or CD, we're for sale, but the event, you can come, and kids, families, adults, there's all different things to experience.
I love that. So besides the fact that you've got the CD and book, and I need you to plug them again, where do you want people to go to find you either tonight or tomorrow or next week when they're going back to listen to the show? How do people get connected to you, and why is it important that they be involved in this group?
The biggest thing is our website, IamAnonymous.org. That will link you to our Facebook, all that stuff. But the biggest thing, I think, is we live in a society where no matter how selfish or what have you people say we are, we genuinely don't take enough of the right, true time for ourselves. And why this is important, I honestly, if you want to buy a book, CD, send us money, I would love you. But I would still love you if you took an hour one night, wrote your letter, and you sent it in, because not only is that a way of taking care of yourself, but like I said earlier about that, a woman with a gay son in Dallas, or like I said about the girl in the McHenry Library that was able to stand up and say something that changed the entire energy of that room, you taking that time and sitting down not only gives you a moment to be good to yourself, but you never know. It could create the next Billboard charting song, or it could just help someone that feels so freaking alone in this world. And that's what I ask for anyone and everyone that listens.
There we go. So that is a perfect place to end the show tonight, folks. We have a fantastic last clip of the night. Mike, can you tell us a little bit about Best Thing?
And all this is, there's a documentary that will one day, hopefully soon, be coming out about this movement. And we are all united in our pain. All of our stories have similar through lines. The thing I want to leave everyone with is that we're also united in our joy. Because if we're united in pain, that means we're united. And if we've all experienced some joy at some time, we're all united in that as well. So as much as we talk about the self-bullying, I also hold this space that we are not only each other's proof that there's joy, but we stand each other's as guarantee. We're the guarantee for each other that joy exists. And so when we went home and made this documentary about these letters back in Chicago, the last thing I asked everyone is, what's the best thing that's ever happened to you? And what this clip is, people, it's I can't remember how many, but quite a few dozen people talking about the best thing that's ever happened to them in 70 seconds. And I just want you to listen to all these names, all these stories, and just see, is your story anywhere in there? Is your joy represented?
I love it. Mike, thank you very, very much for being here on Rated G Radio tonight. Tomorrow night, we have Tarot Jeff coming back for Tarot Tuesday Live, 7 p.m. West Coast time. This is Best Thing. Listen, tell your friends to tune in and share the show. Spread the love, and this is Best Thing.
In one word, what's the worst thing anyone's ever called you?
I believe it's probably just the plain old cuss word of asshole or idiot, something like that.
And in one word, how did that make you feel?
Well, obviously I knew that they weren't in agreement with me and that there's some kind of bitter feelings there.
What's the best thing that's ever happened to you?
One sentence, I'll combine it. Marie and the three kids I have.
And there it is, the biggest joker in Wheeling, Illinois, proving that he's no different from any other parent.
The best thing that's ever happened to me has been the birth of my son.
Giving birth to my daughter.
The birth of my children.
The birth of my three children.
Giving birth to my children.
Having my children.
My three kids.
I had a baby. My kids. Having them, they're wonderful.
When you love someone, you want to make them happy. Heal their scars, soften their failures, silence their bullies. But that doesn't make it better. It's sitting with them and listening as they discover on their own, we are not the worst thing anyone's ever called us. We're the best thing that's ever happened to us.
Falling in love.
Buying my own house.
My ordination.
Graduating college.
Probably my first kiss with a boy.
Getting my job as an educator.
When I met my niece.
I don't know. I scored 3 goals in a soccer game.
We all have a story.
When I came to this country.
Oklahoma.
Well, I liked when my dad, he got married to my stepmom.
The best thing that happened to me was when my mom came out and partied with the gay boys back in 2001. And I was like, wow.
Being born.
I was born.
We all have a scar.
When my girlfriend got out of the hospital, she was okay.
And my mom saved my life.
I didn't kill myself.
And we are all struggling to deal with our past.
I made my life as positive as possible.
But in the end, we all want the same thing.
I was fortunate enough to meet my soulmate, finding the love of my life.
They got married.
Meeting my fiancé.
My wife telling me that she loves me.
Falling in love.
Meeting my husband.
Falling in love.
Meeting my wife.
Living 17 years with my boyfriend, Kieran.
Being accepted.
To be heard, not pitied.
My parents accepting me.
To be seen, not invisible.
Knowing I was loved.
To truly believe that even in our darkest moments, we are not alone. And in one word, how did that make you feel?
Good.
You've been listening to Rated G Radio.